He looked at me for a moment, then set off into the kitchen, at which I quickly leapt across the room to look behind the sofa and the curtains. "What are you doing?" Daniel was standing in the doorway. "Nothing, nothing. Just thought I might have left a skirt of mine behind the sofa," I said, wildly plumping up the cushions, as if I were in a French farce. "Just on my way to the loo," I said. Daniel was staring at me as if I was mad. I locked the loo door and started frantically looking around for things. I wasn't exactly sure what, but long blonde hairs, tissues with lipstick marks on, alien hairbrushes. Any of these would have been a sign. Nothing. Next, I quietly unlocked the door, looked both ways, slipped along the corridor, pushed open the door of Daniel's bedroom, and nearly jumped out of my skin. There was someone in the room. "Bridge." It was Daniel, defensively holding a pair of jeans in front of him. "What are you doing in here?" I heard you come in here, so I thought it was a secret assignation," I said, approaching him in what would have been a sexy way were it not for the floral sprig dress. I leaned my head on his chest and put my arms around him, trying to smell his shirt for perfume traces and get a good look at the bed, which was unmade as usual. "You still got the bunny girl outfit on underneath, haven't you?" he said, starting to unzip the bridesmaid dress and pressing against me in a way which made his intentions very clear. "Oh, the kettle must be boiling," he said suddenly, zipping my dress up again and patting me reassuringly in a way that was most unlike him. "After you," said Daniel, pushing me out and shutting the doors so I had to walk ahead of him back into the kitchen. As I did so, I suddenly caught sight of the door that leads up to the roof terrace. That was where she was. She was on the bloody roof. "What's the matter with you?" he said as I stared at the door suspiciously. "Nothing," I sing-song gaily, flopping into the sitting room. "Just a little tired from the party." I flung myself casually onto the sofa. Daniel brought me a cup of tea and sat down at his laptop, which was open and turned on. Only then did I start to think that maybe there was no woman. There was a document up on the screen. Maybe he really had been working and on the phone to America. And I was making a complete prat of myself, behaving like a madwoman. "Are you sure everything's all right, Bridge?" "Fine, yes. Why?" Now I felt a complete fool. It was bloody Mark Darcy trying to wreck my relationship by sowing suspicions in my mind. Poor Daniel. It was so unfair to doubt him in this way, because of the word of some arrogant, ill-tempered, top-flight human rights lawyer. Then I heard a scraping noise on the roof above us. "Oh, I think maybe I'm just a bit hot," I said, watching Daniel tensely. "I think maybe I'll go and sit on the roof for a while." "For God's sake, will you sit still for 2 minutes?" he yelled, moving to bar my path, but I was too quick for him. I dodged past, opened the door, ran up the stairs and opened the hatch out into the sunlight. There, spread out on a sun lounger, was a bronze, long-limbed, blonde-haired, stark, naked woman. I stood there, frozen to the spot, feeling like an enormous pudding in the bridesmaid dress. The woman raised her head, lifted her sunglasses and looked at me with one eye closed. I heard Daniel coming up the stairs behind me. "Honey," said the woman in an American accent, looking over my head at him, "I thought you said she was thin."